And on today's Windy City Queercast, the forecast is hot, humid, and hazy. So we're talking about the sporting life, the sport of dating straights, the sport of tennis, and the big run. And we talk about Deb's celebrity sighting. It was a bitter one. Also, we have women hitting hard. That's right, Pam Shafrath, linebacker from the Chicago Force, here to talk about the Chicago Force going all the way to the national championships. Wow, sexy women hitting hard.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Windy City Queercast, show number 228. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
You are. How's Toronto?
Oh, my God. It is hot and humid and hazy.
Hot, humid, and hazy.
It is all the three H's that I love about mid-July. I've got to tell you, I have been enjoying my back deck so much because every middle of February, I say, God, I just want it to be the middle of July, and I try to think about those moments, and now I'm in it, and I'm loving it, and I just love this weather. What's the heat like in Chicago?
Wait, that means you like being sticky and sweaty and...
Yes.
Mmm. Deb Pierce,
yeah.
Toronto sexy on us with your.
I was just
going
to say,
humid,
gosh, we hit the ground running. We usually save that to the end of our podcast. What
I
the
know.
Heck?
Let's just come out of the gate running, Deb Pierce.
That's a true story.
Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah, it's hot here. It's definitely hazy, but I have to say we're having a very pleasant summer as they go. I've been trying to hit the beach a little bit, feeling like my tan is looking a little golden.
Nice.
Which is good.
That's nice. You know, blondes with tans, that's kind of hot. It's hard for us to do, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to work it. It's a gradual thing.
Well, God, let's be honest. You have to burn a couple of times to get a base.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, I do. My back, we had Girls Gone Wild, Viva La Volva weekend last weekend, and my back is still burnt, and now it's going through that awkward, uncomfortable, I'm just going to rub up against doorways, door frames to itch my back.
So, wait, what is Viva La Volva weekend?
Well, last year it was Girls Gone Wild weekend, Return of the Volva, and this is Girls Gone Wild weekend. We've been doing it, this is our fifth year, and this was Viva La Volva, and it's just a girls' weekend, no boys allowed, and I go with my partner, my best friend, well, for 6 years, whoever I'm dating, or whatever, the last couple of years, and then Leanne the last 3 years, and so it's me, my partner, and... my best friend, her partner, and her sister, my best friend's sister, and her friend.
Are they straight?
Yes, the two are. The sisters are. Well.
and thus, viva la vulva.
Exactly.
Those straight girls are fun when they're just straight, but really just think they could try it with you. That's
they,
the straight girl.
I love being, listen, put me in a Petri dish, experiment with me. I do not care. I don't hate that at all. I'll tell you, Amy, I think I've dated, well, maybe slept with, more straight-identified women than queer women, than lesbians.
Yeah, I had too. I had as well until I started this current relationship.
See?
And then that leveled me out. I have been with straight men, gay men, straight women.
Wait.
And gay women.
Gay men?
I'm like balanced. I told Alexander Billings if we had slept together, I would have been with somebody trans and then I'd have a full house.
But, wow, that makes you gold star, platinum lesbian.
Yeah, kind of. I just dated a lot of men who also happened to be gay like me, you know?
I like it.
Yeah.
Wow, I really like talking to you. I got to tell you, we don't talk enough. These are the things I find out.
Yeah, it's equally balanced. But now I have hit the age where I haven't gone back and dated a straight man or gay man, and I haven't slept with a straight woman in quite a while.
Yep.
So now the lesbian part of the scale gets heavier. So I've been with more lesbians now.
Well, it's, you know what, dating somebody or, you know, dating somebody casually that's straight identified, there's a little bit that comes with that. I mean, I'll take that responsibility if they, you know, because they're going through their own headspace. I mean, God knows, I've never slept with a man. He'd be dealing with a lot if I slept with somebody, you know. There'd be stuff I'd be going through.
Yeah.
Too much sometimes. I'm 39, for God's sake. I don't have the time.
But you're gay. See, I've never had the relationship with the straight woman. I've just had the sex with a straight woman. And
most of
them I used to be friends. I was and still am, actually, friends with. But I just, it was like, not really friends with benefits, but friends. And then, well, we've never done this. Let's just do that. That's kind of what it was.
It's like picking a movie. We've never seen this.
What are we going to do this weekend? You know?
Try that on. See how
Mexican food or a movie or a play or a Cubs game or sex. And, you know,
the other ones just cancel out.
Yeah. I don't know. The Cubs are playing pretty well this year. So
are they?
They are. So the summer is about sun and sweating and friends and all of that. And today I wanted us to talk about sports a bit.
Okay. Got a lot to say on that.
I get the idea that you're more of a, I know what the Cubs are doing, but I get the idea that you're more of a sporty gal than I.
I guess comparatively, maybe I am. Yeah, I'm not an accomplished jock, I don't think, but I can play pretty much everything or anything. You give me a glove or a bat or a racket, I can do it for sure.
That's accomplished.
Yeah, I guess it is. I work for the Toronto District School Board here up in Canada, and I worked as an intramural coach, and I did some after-school programming and stuff that involved a lot of sport and recreation, because I just think kids, and this is going to make me sound old, I think kids got lazy, like significantly lazier than our generation is Atari or whatever. How old are you?
An Atari, right. You're talking about Atari.
Right. So anyway, I'm just wondering if that was over your head and if I had to go back to Commodore 64 or ahead to Nintendo. But nevertheless, it is what it is. And so I worked in sports. I took recreation leadership in college. So I've always, 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 I've grown up playing tennis since I was the height of a tennis racket. And I was, I learned how to swim when I was 6 months old, even though my mom still doesn't know how to swim.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Is she scared of water?
She isn't scared of water. She was on a boat cruise. She goes on ships all the time, but she was on a boat in open water in Lake Ontario last week.
Oh, my God.
I think she forgets that she doesn't know how to swim.
Well, I hope she has a raft on or a life
preserver.
She's
got my dad. He's buoyant.
Yeah.
This is how it ends. Not if Will's here.
So, wait, but you had a big run. Did you do your big run?
Thank you for asking. I did. I finished it Pride weekend, and I'll tell you, last year it was a 5K Pride and Remembrance run, and all the money raised, we raised over $108,000.
Wow.
Going to this youth line, the support, this 800 number youth line for everyone to call from all around the world to get support about any issues that they have. And also the Inside Out Gay and Lesbian Film and Digital Video Project Festival. Fantastic money. I did the 5K. It was piss pouring rain. It's 6:30 in the morning.
Oh.
I'm at the internet cafe at the hotel, and I'm looking outside thinking, I've got a shirt, because I promised all the people that sponsored me that I'd write their name on my shirt. So I've already made the shirt up, and it's piss pouring rain, and I'm thinking, it's all going to look like, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's all going to be all. So I'm looking outside, and I asked the people in the hotel. I said, listen, it's raining out. I'm doing a 5K. Has anyone left a jacket or something in your lost and found that I can borrow for the run? So they did. So I was able to sort of run in this nylon jacket. But it turns out by the time I got to the starting line, the sun came out.
Aww.
God loves gays. This was Pride weekend, too, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And so last year I finished it in 37 minutes. I wanted to do it in 29, but I've got pretty bad asthma, and it was really, really hot, hazy, and humid,
yes.
the three H's. So I did it in 34. But I finished it, and I'm proud of myself.
Yay! And you
yeah.
made a lot of money. You raised some money.
Yeah, I personally raised thousands of dollars for the cause. So that was really it was really nice. You know, the weekend is all full of partying and you know, meeting all these great people, meeting celebrities that totally let you down because they're bitches. And we can talk about that later. And
bitter much, bitter
yeah,
much.
She was we can mention names a little later on yeah. maybe, but just unpleasant. But it also is about the community, and I think that that was just a little in between the drinking and, you know, the partying. I really wanted to do something substantial and sporty. So there you go.
Aw, and something about having a better you, you know, being proud about an accomplishment for yourself.
Right.
So that's kind of what it's about.
And there were these pictures all along the race because I took personal challenges. These women were like, I'm going to beat you, Deb Pierce. I'm going to kick your ass, Deb Pierce. So right along the route, there's pictures of these like lightning bolts with their names on them and this turtle with my name dragging way behind saying, this is you, Deb Pierce.
Oh,
it was awesome. It made me run faster for sure.
These are not your friends, Deb Pierce.
These are
Let
not
me tell you. These are not your friends.
These are not my friends.
You know,
yeah, no, it was great.
It's amazing because I am not very sporty. I have this theory that when I was younger, I danced and I was really serious about it. And so I was
like jazz, tap, ballet danced.
Yeah. Point.
Okay.
And all of it. And so I danced so much up until the age of like 16, 17 mm-hmm. that, and then I went off to college and I ran because I gained all this freshman weight and I became a runner. And then I just stopped. I was like, I'm done. Like it was
nothing.
It was.
Have you ever done a team sport?
No. Well, a camp and stuff like that. I get mean. I'm really a mean
Do
competitor.
You?
Oh yeah.
Amy Messini.
Yeah, I don't play well with others. I really like it, and I don't think there's anything wrong, but other people seem to be offended, so I just...
There's a trail of bleeding noses and people grabbing their groins yeah. and knees. What?
Yeah.
I was just running for the ball.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to knock people down, but I'm just... Oh, I just... It just unnerves my delicate sensibilities. So I...
Good to know.
Yeah. So I
first cat and first shoes, not picking Amy. Just
yeah.
saying.
No, not at all. So I would always start out these sports. You know, as a dancer, they wouldn't let us have anything that really competed with that.
Okay.
You know, I had to be at ballet class and then whatever elective class I was taking after. And my ballet class was an hour and a half. And I mean, it was intense stuff, you know,
right.
5 days a week. It's while I was in school.
It's intense. It's good discipline for kids, but that's hard.
Oh, it's extremely good discipline. And so I would start a sport. Like you said, I was in the water really young. Then they wanted me to join the swim team. I quit. Then I was riding horses and they wanted me to compete in some horse shows and I quit. And I fell off a balance beam, so I quit. And then is there a trend here or what? So then I was playing tennis. And they said, you know what? You're really good.
You should
join a team. And I said, you know what? I'm not going. I kept playing tennis. I held it off at bay for a while because I liked it so much. And then I was entering high school and my coach said, you know, you really need to join the team. You're good enough to go out for the team. And I quit. I quit like at 15, 16. I held him off my freshman year, and by my sophomore year, he was like, you need to go out, and I said no.
Did your parents ever step in and say, listen, Amy, we really think you should stick with this, or was it just like, do what you want to do, you're making good choices?
No, it was kind of like, letting the activities that I wasn't passionate about fall to the wayside is I think what they saw, but it was really that I just I put all my energy into dance, and then it became theater, and then it became the arts, you know?
Right.
And, but I have to say, and now I'm going to age myself a little bit. I picked up a racket here 20 years later, and I am now addicted to tennis. And
it's the greatest sport. Do you have a court close by?
Yes, I have a few courts close by, which I didn't realize, and it's very convenient. And so I've playing about three, trying to play three times a week, if not more. But the best part, do you have Target in Canada?
Yeah, no.
No, but you know what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we go to the States to go to Target.
There you go. Well, going to Target and getting tennis outfits is just, it's about the costumes.
Okay, like, hold on a minute. You are wearing tennis outfits?
Yes.
That's exceptional.
Isn't that exciting? Like,
I now officially, and you're listening, what podcast is this to what?
Wendy said, 228.
Uh-huh. You heard it here, 228. I now hereby challenge Amy Matheny to one set, best of six, in tennis.
Oh, you're going to kick my ass.
No, I'm not. You're playing way more often than I am.
No. But I did, but I'm definitely pimped out. That's what I can tell you. Like,
so you look great.
I like looking good, and I like getting like three balls and stuffing them on the sides of my hips under my shorts. Like, that's like so exciting to me. It's kind of like packing, but it's a whole different deal. It's really fun.
You could put them there. That would be a little distracting to your opponents, I think. Hold on. I just got to get that one. Oh, yeah,
it's quite funny. It's quite funny not to care that I'm putting a 3-inch tumor like on the side of my hips, and I think I look really sporty and cool.
I like, you know, the goiter look is in.
It really is.
Right? The hip goiter, very hot.
So I'll play that match with you next time you're here or next time I'm there. And I'm digging it. So
listen, even if it's the fall for Halloween or whatever, yeah, I'm finding an indoor court. And now I'm all nervous that I'm talking all smack. I don't think I'm going to win. I will bet on you, actually.
I'll do something distracting. If I have to win that way, I'll do it that way.
But, well, wear a tennis skirt, for God's sake. You're done. I'm done.
There you go. I'm so excited by it. But I just want to say, you know, the jock is starting to come out of me. The prissy jock, but the jock is starting to come
listen,
out of me.
No, listen. It's really good. You know what? You work really hard. I've been looking at all the podcasts. You're putting one up every couple of days. And I think it's really important to balance all that hard work with just that physical stress. Just whether it's I don't know, I guess sex would do it for sure, right?
Yeah.
But just that, just getting it out and just being like, even running for me is just like, just me, my iPod, I'm gone. Just get
it
all out.
There's something about hitting something I like too. I did kickbox for a year, and I found the hitting aspect fun. Once again,
see?
We go back to I shouldn't be in team sports. It's good that I'm all over on my side of a court with
play basketball,
a chain
kicking
link
your own
fence
teammate
around me. It's kind of like prison, you know, for me. It's like, I'm like asphalt and chain link fence and a net, you know, it's good. It's quite a sexual sport now that I think about it.
I guess
it
is now that you think about it, now that you're putting it that way.
So I mention all this because the big thing in Chicago right now, we're going to have them on the show, or we're going to have one of their key players on our show, is the Chicago Force is going to the national championships. This is the women's tackle, full tackle football team.
I've checked them out online.
Hot,
who are you interviewing?
We're interviewing linebacker Pam. And she has been a part of the team from the very beginning. And so they are really having their day here 5 years later, and going to be on the show. But we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world, in the world news. And then we're going to come back because I want to know who the bitter celebrity is with Deb Pierce giving us the dish.
God. Yep.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Bobbleheads, tropical air freshener, an antique chandelier. You've got it all covered in tinsel and Mardi Gras beads.
I can't see the road.
When it comes to interior design, you don't trust anything that can't be plugged into a cigarette lighter.
Can I use your toaster?
No matter where they're going,
Your passengers always ask the same question. Is this a taxi cab or a Turkish bazaar?
How much for the candelabra?
So take a day off and crack open an ice-cold Bud Light night of the knick-knack. Because only you can proudly say, yes, I do have junk in my trunk.
Mr. Taxi Cab over says
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The Massachusetts Senate approved the repeal of an old law that prevents out-of-staters from marrying there if the marriage isn't legal in the home state. California allows couples from other states to wed there. Many have flocked from their home states to California, and Massachusetts wants the same economic benefits California has seen. The repeal is expected to pass the Massachusetts House shortly, and Governor Deval Patrick said he would sign it.
Republican presidential candidate John McCain is receiving heat from gay and lesbian groups for coming out against gay adoption. McCain said, "I think that we've proven that both parents are important in the success of a family, so no, I don't believe in gay adoption." McCain's campaign clarified that the candidate doesn't support a federal ban of gay adoption and thinks the issue should be left to individual states to decide.
In an 80-16 vote, the U.S. Senate passed the Lantos High Bill, which reauthorizes the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, a global health initiative that addresses HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. The passage is significant because the Senate not only authorized $48 billion over 5 years for the program, but they also voted to lift the HIV travel ban, which kept HIV-positive non-citizens from traveling or immigrating to the U.S. The travel ban was part of the reauthorization legislation. The Senate also approved the removal of a requirement to make a third of prevention funds spent on abstinence-only programs. The bill awaits President Bush's signature.
Dubai, which is located in the Gulf, has detained several tourists and foreign workers for being gay. Dubai police detained 17 workers and tourists for allegedly displaying homosexual behavior in public spaces. All detained were men, and several were supposedly wearing female clothing.
A North Carolina bill that would have protected GLBT students from anti-gay bullying and harassment at school has died. The bill died because the addition of sexual orientation was too controversial. Conservatives thought the language would lead to other pro-GLBT legislation.
Both Neil Patrick Harris and Sex and the City star Cynthia Nixon have been nominated for Emmy Awards, which air on ABC September 21st. Openly gay Patrick Harris was nominated for Outstanding Actor for his role on How I Met Your Mother. Openly lesbian Nixon was nominated for her Law & Order SVU guest appearance.
Lesbian singer-songwriter Katie Ryder recently died at age 30 from complications with a facial tumor. Her music appeared on the television shows Dawson's Creek and Strong Medicine. Ryder, who shared the stage with other lesbian musicians such as Melissa Ferrick, had been unable to perform since she was diagnosed 2 years ago. And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Deb, who is your bitter celeb?
All right, listen. I was hosting for Pride a couple of weeks ago for Toronto Pride, right? A million people. I'm on a stage. I'm hosting it for the radio station I work at here in Toronto. And I have thousands and thousands and thousands of people doing the wave. I'm pointing at them. I actually have the video if you want me to send it to you. I'm pointing at them, and when I point to them, they do the wave, and then I'm pointing back left to right, right to left, and then I'm splitting the group up to introduce the next band, okay? Mm-hmm. And the name of the band is, and I split it into threes because it's three words, A-Ha-Her. I have thousands of people chanting, ah-ha-her, ah-ha-her. Everyone's totally excited. I finally get them on stage. It's Laisha Haley, of course, Alice Piazecki from The L Word, and the other woman in her band. And so they get on stage, and they get off stage, and I'm thinking, you know, it was a good set. People really liked them. Before they get on, they've got a special tent in the back. They've got all the things that they want, and they still insist on going to this open area for it's a special needs area and a VIP area. They pretty much kicked everybody out of it at first, and I thought maybe that's just pre-show jitters. They don't want people eating Pringles and M&Ms in front of them and coming up and talking to them or whatever. So I'm like, meh, that's fine, whatever. They don't want people bugging them in the VIP. I let that go. They get off the stage. They go hide in their tent. Well, probably 500 lesbians are waiting to meet them, buy their T-shirts, buy their CDs. They make them wait for 15 minutes. I'm going on with the show because now I'm actually hosting my own show, which is called Insert Pronoun Here, a drag king show. So I'm running around, and they finally come out of the tent, and I'm like, listen, do you guys mind if I just take a quick picture for the Proud FM website? And Laisha Haley, Alice Piazecki from The L Word, looks at me and goes, yeah, those people over there, pointing to the hundreds of people, have been waiting a lot longer than you. So maybe, and I'm not guaranteeing it, maybe we can get to that later, and walks away. And I thought, I just had the whole, they could have come out, peed in the middle of the stage and left, and people would have loved them. They were so excited.
Wow.
And she just, it was a complete snub.
Wow.
And I thought that, I'm just doing my job here. I'm just trying to be a good MC. I actually like one of their songs. I was stoked to see them. People are excited. And I thought, you are taking yourself a little too seriously. And then, of course, after it, she walked by me expecting me maybe, like a setup, to be like, do you think we have time for that picture now? Are you kidding me? I didn't ask her for anything.
Yeah.
I emailed her manager the following day and said, listen, you know, if you want to throw me their disc, I'll see if I can get into rotation at Proud FM. It's too bad we didn't get a picture because our website gets 1.3 million hits a month. It would have been great exposure for the band. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Mean.
Wow.
Yep.
Always, always, always you have to be kind to your fluffer. Come on, porn stars. What the hell?
That's true.
You were like their bona fide fluffer and, you know.
That's exactly
then they
it.
Think they got their big old erection themselves.
Yeah, well, they didn't. I mean, yeah. They, you know, they're as good as, you know, that band, that genre is going to be. And of course, but you know what, Amy? You know what? I came to the realization, and it has nothing to do with her because I've dismissed it, which is too bad because, you know, she's done the same thing to people that I know. My ex tranny boyfriend was in season 3, and he said the same thing happened to her. He said the same thing happened to him when she walked by. He literally asked a question. She looked right through him and kept on walking. And he's like, no one's ever done that to me.
Wow.
Like, it's just bad manners.
Yeah.
But you know what I think? Lesbians are starving for lesbian icons, for famous lesbians.
Yeah.
For out famous lesbians that are
they
willing to
you.
Say.
They have me. What else do they need?
I know. That's true. There's two in us.
Yeah.
You've got a friend in me.
Well, I have to say that I'm always shocked when people come up to me and say, you know, thank you after hosting an event or for doing my job, which is my job, you know,
yep.
And you have the same one to like
yep.
host and basically we're selling, you know,
yep.
we're salesmen. Hopefully we're not snake oil salesmen. We're like actually selling something we're proud of or something
yep.
about our community or something
That's
that people
right.
need to know about.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, you know, no problem when people thank me. And that's 9 times out of 10 what happens. People thank you and all of that. But I don't have an expectation of that, like graciousness.
Nope.
But I definitely am floored when anyone is ever cold and doesn't understand that I talk on a microphone. You talk on a microphone. And that has impact. And, you know, it's not just kind of what you do out on stage for 5 minutes. These stories and who these people are get known very quickly. So
well, that's right, and it was in Cocktail Confessions in our free extra, our gay newspaper, I guess the equivalent to your Windy City.
Yeah, Windy City Times.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like that kind of news travels way faster than, oh, she was really nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not here to single-handedly try to do anything to her or bring her down or anything, but I just, you know what, I am genuinely a polite person by nature. That's how my mom and dad raised me.
Yeah.
And that's going to translate if you know me, if you don't know me, if you know me from your podcast, if you know me from Proud FM, if you know me from high school, that's not going to change. I'm just really happy to be here and part of the team. And it makes me sad. Then I translate that into sadness, because how can you be playing to tens of, like, thousands of people at Toronto Pride at sunset on the Saturday night of Pride weekend with people chanting and screaming and not enjoy that, love that moment, eat it up, thank people, talk to them?
Well, there's a graciousness that needs to come from that entire L word, you know, anyone attached to the L word, because they represent the lesbian community, and and they don't really, but they do.
Right.
And so they need to just kind of suit up and show up and be classy, warm,
well, especially
gracious
what, the
people.
You're right. I agree with
all
you.
Of them, all of them. I don't care if one of them is gay or straight, like they all need to be that, because they are ambassadors for the lesbian community. And
well,
whether they want to say that responsibility, they have it or not, they do.
Is and she so not the only like real lesbian in the L word?
I don't know. I don't really care, because they're all playing them on television. They have
I know, but I got to tell you, I understand that as an actor standpoint, but I do think that they're, and maybe that's just me projecting, but I feel like she's got a sense of responsibility to her community.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because our next show, and we'll talk in a few days about that, but, you know, openly gay actor Brian Batt is playing...
Huge.
You know, a character who's closetedly gay on AMC's Mad Men, which is the hot, hot, hot show of last year and will be this year now that it's coming out next week. And we'll talk about that. You know, do gay actors feel a responsibility when portraying gay roles? But I feel like as an actress, if I was playing anybody or anybody, I think even when I play somebody who people aren't going to like, you know, like a villain or a, a person that we would think is a victim or a villain or whatever, I have a responsibility to kind of show up for that story and that character. And especially with a show that is such a movement like the O Word, as you say, because lesbians are starved, it, just because you step into that role, you do claim a responsibility. You just do. If we said that Billy Crystal had no responsibility on portraying a gay man when he did Soap, I think he felt his responsibility. And he wasn't a gay man. You know, it was the first time that was happening on television in a real open way. And that's significant. And that's significant for an artist. And if they all claim to be artists or actors, you know, they are the storytellers of our time. And whether we think they represent all types of lesbians, they're in a moment where they are representing the lesbian community. So it's naive and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't find the word. It's just, you know, it doesn't have a consciousness to act like you're not.
Right.
That's not the right word, but it's a phrase. But
I know what you're trying to, I do know, I can't think of the word either, but I know what you're trying to get at, and I absolutely concur. Completely concur. And it's, you know, I get disappointed too. I'm just disappointed.
Know.
What a bummer.
We don't want our heroes to make us fall. Not that she's a hero of yours, but you always, if you like a celebrity, you want to meet them and have them at least be kind and generous. So you don't. It doesn't dispel what you like about them. So,
well, you know what? And Toronto Pride, they, you know, it kind of caters to the, you know, the that kind of music. And then we get people like Thelma Houston, of course, huge icons that
love
I got
her.
To meet and introduce. Yeah, I love her. You know, so there is that, and arguably that does in some cases cater to the gay men in our community. And then we get this one band that has, you know, sort of the attachment of the L word to it. And I just think maybe I had, you know what, maybe I had higher expectations.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
Hey, there are a lot of artists doing some great things. There's some funny lesbian women coming to Chicago. All this and more is going to be in our Culture Club today. So we're going to break and tell you about that. And then we come back. I've got Pam Shafrath, linebacker, star linebacker of the Chicago Force, on with us here.
The critics call it a blockbuster, a phenomenon, a show that makes you laugh, cry, and think. Audiences call it the most thrillifying theatrical experience of a lifetime. Now, at Chicago's Ford Center Oriental Theater, you can discover for yourself that everything you've heard about Wicked is true.
I'd be so happy.
Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, the musical that changed Chicago for good.
Bosch's favorite team, the Wizard at Lake.
Are you ready to meet the Wizard? Call Ticketmaster.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater. Music. Dance. Art. Performance.
Provocative. Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 21st, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Come spend the night with the reigning queer queens of comedy, Poppy Champlin, Dana Eagle, and Julie Goldman, one night only, August 8th at 8 p.m. at the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway. A hilarious night of queer comedy, not just for the ladies, but the ladies will like it. For tickets, visit lakeshoretheater.com or queerqueensofcomedy.com.
Powerful movement, mesmerizing imagery, and naked people on scaffolding doing Shakespeare. Don't miss Unsex Me Here, a stripped-down one-hour production of Macbeth, features performers as living canvases, costumed in projected textures and unique lighting, and there's an audience participation. Fridays and Saturdays at 11 p.m. at National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Tickets are $15. Visit thelivingcanvas.com to reserve.
Now playing at Steppenwolf as part of the first look repertory of new work, Fair Use by Sarah Gubbins. A plagiarism case involving a famous author is the backdrop for this lesbian romantic comedy set in a high-powered law firm. A series of questionable love letters fuels this breezy cross-examination of modern dating and relationships. For tickets to Fair Use, go to steppenwolf.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Jason Moore, the director of Avenue Q, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
If you don't know about the Chicago Force, you are gonna know now, because they are an undefeated women's all-tackle football team. And let me tell you, they're going all the way, folks, all the way, and they want your butts in the seat if you're in the Chicago area or near Chicago or can get to Chicago for the big game. And I'm thrilled to have on the Queercast Pam Shafrath. She is a linebacker for the team, an original member of the Force, and she's here to tell us just all about the Chicago Force and what an exciting year it has been. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Great. How are you? Glad to be on the show.
Hey, it's good to talk with you. Man, you have been there since the beginning, since 2003. And in five short years, you guys are really turning around some performances. Tell me about the Chicago Force for people who don't even know what the Chicago Force is.
The Chicago Force is a women's tackle full contact football team. It's not flag football. It's not power puff. It's full tackle, full pads, helmets, shoulder pads, just like the guys play. And we're involved in the IWFL, which is the Independent Women's Football League, and it's across the country. It's countrywide, and we play different cities, and it's just like the National Football League. There's divisions and everything.
So tell me what the age range of the women on the team are.
I believe the ages range from as young as 19 all the way up to 46.
Wow. You have 19-year-old players and 46-year-old players.
Yes, it's a big range. A very
that
big range.
That is huge. Now, do people come from different backgrounds of sports in their life?
Every one of us has their own story, but all of us have, most of us have athletic backgrounds, meaning most of us played all different kinds of sports, from softball, basketball, volleyball, soccer. But and some of us have played football when we were younger with the boys, but all of us have athletic backgrounds. Most of us have athletic backgrounds.
So tell me about your background. You, I know that you're from Chicago, and we should just say that you lead the team in tackles. You're a captain. You've been MVP every year for the force. But you were athletic in high school, also in college. So what sports were you playing?
Well, I'm a Chicago native. I grew up on the north side of the city, and I grew up with three brothers and a dad that played football. So I come from a football family, but I grew up in the Chicago Park Districts, and I played Little League as a kid, and I also played in the Pop Warner Football League in 7th and 8th grade. But in high school, I was a three-sport athlete. I played basketball, softball, and volleyball, and in college, I played softball.
Now, I hear that you are also a member of a professional baseball team for women.
Yeah, when I graduated college, I had the opportunity to play for the Colorado Silver Bullets, which was an all-women's pro baseball team that played against men. And I did that for 4 years right out of college when I was 22 years old, and it was a great experience.
So you must have felt like you were playing a league of their own.
Oh, it was an amazing opportunity. I am so thankful for the opportunity not only to play football now, but, you know, I was given the opportunity to play baseball when I was younger. So I've been really, really lucky.
So what is kind of the stigmatism, I guess, with women in football? I mean, this has not been a sport that women have really have had access to. So what changed, and what are still the barriers that you all fight against?
I think the stigmatism is women aren't tough enough, women don't hit hard enough, we play different rules, you know, maybe it's not full tackle. But if you come out to a game, it's, you know, football's football. I don't care if 5-year-olds are playing, or high school boys are playing, high school girls, or men or women. Football's football. When you get between the white lines, you know, we play really, really good football, and that's why we want to emphasize just really coming out to this game, because I think people would really enjoy watching us play. But the stigmatism is just that probably, you know, we don't play the same game as the boys, but we do. It you know, it's the same rules, and if you just come out and watch us play, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised and you'll love it. People fall in love with us.
And I mean, many, many cities have teams. I mean, of course, you're playing major cities all over the U.S.
Yes.
You are undefeated, which is fantastic. What do you think has been the key to your success as a team in staying undefeated this entire season?
I think the key to our success this year is definitely keeping our focus. And we have the right mix of players this year. We have a good amount of veterans combined with a great rookie class. And we're the kind of team that we work really hard. And when we get on that field, we play really well together, and we're there for each other. And I think the key also, too, is our team has come full circle. We've always been a really good team, and our focus has always been to win the championship. And this year, it's just all come together, and we have one game left, and it's pretty exciting.
So talk to me about a couple of the veterans on your team, you know, who have really been, you know, instrumental in being leaders for the team this year.
Wow, we have a couple of great veterans. One of the veterans I would love to talk about is our owner and player, Linda Bechet. She's been with me from day one, from the start of this program, and in my opinion, she's the best safety in the league, and you know, her background is kind of the same as a lot of us. You know, she grew up with brothers and had never had the opportunity to play football, but always wanted the opportunity. And she's definitely one of our best players, and she owns a team and runs a big part of this team. Another veteran would be definitely Melissa Smith. She's one of our key running backs. I think she's played 5 years, and she's a big key to our offense this year. Another veteran would be Jessica McPeak. She's one of my fellow linebackers. She's actually from Kansas City, but she, you know, lives in Chicago now, and she's one of our captains. I mean, I can talk on and on about my team. There's just so many of us. But, you know, one of the key, some of the key players are Jess McPeak, Melissa Smith, Linda Bechet. There's so many. Yeah. I can go on.
Talk to me about some of the rookies. I hear that you've got a very young quarterback. I have to say, you know, I was kind of in love with Helen Hunt, the quarterback princess, when I was growing up. So
me too. I love that movie.
So and for people who have not seen that movie, you're too young, and all you you need to go find it on YouTube or something. But
it was the best.
But I hear you have a very young quarterback who's quite a rookie and quite a little star.
It's actually her second year, but her name is Samantha Grisofsky, and I didn't bring her in with the veterans because it's only her second year, but she's one of our most athletic players, and she's one of those quarterbacks that I would kind of relate her to kind of like a Brett Favre. She loves to run with the ball. She doesn't mind getting hit. She'll throw the long ball. She'll do anything it takes to get that ball across the goal line, and she's a good leader on our offense. And she also connects with one of our wide receivers, who's a third-year player, and her name's Angie Banstra, and she's young, too. Our quarterback's 23 years old, and our wide receiver, Angie Banstra, is only 26. So, like I said, we got a good group of older players, and we got a good group of younger players that, you know, and we mix together really well.
Well, and you talk about doing whatever it takes to get that ball into the end zone, and you all have had some absolute nail biters this year. And hey, that keeps it good and exciting. And as long as you got the biggest score at the end, it doesn't matter. But talk to me a little bit about this Eastern Championship game that was just last week.
Well, it was a matchup of two Midwest teams. We played, Chicago Forest played against Pittsburgh, and it's funny because Pittsburgh Steelers was my favorite team growing up, so, you know, it was kind of funny for me. But it was just a mix of two Midwest teams that were very fundamentally sound, and we knew going into it was going to be a tough fight. And it was head-to-head the whole game. They actually scored first on us. We went into halftime losing 7-0. And we knew coming out halftime that we were going to have to put a score across, and we did. And we wound up going for two instead of the field goal to win the game. So it was definitely a nail-biter. And hopefully this championship game we can score first and not have to, you know, bite our nails the next game.
So with a moment like that, it really not only comes down to kind of the heart of the team, but also a good coach. What's it been like working with your coach this season?
Well, our head coach is Coach Jim Stahl, and he's been with us the past 4 years and is one of the most committed coaches I've ever been around. And we also have two coaches that have been instrumental this year, our defensive coach, Coach Maniaitis, and our offensive coach, Coach Kay. They've been incredible as far as strategy for us. We also have Coach Bill and Gary. And we have just an amazing coaching staff. And I think any good team has a good coaching staff. So, you know, I want to give them a lot of credit. They've been incredible this year for us.
So, you know, all of these players, you all have other jobs. I mean, you all have
full-time jobs.
Full-time jobs and other lives. This is not yet like the WNBA or something that affords you not to have another job. So what do you do during the day?
My job is I'm a Chicago police officer. I'm going on my ninth year, and I was on patrol for 6 years, but in the past 3 years I've been recently promoted. I process crime scenes now, so I'm the CSI person. I get to take fingerprints and take pictures and collect evidence, and it's really a great job. I love my job a lot.
You know, that's become a really trendy job, hasn't it, since the whole television show with the whole CSI...
Yes, it is. It's a key part of the process when it comes to catching criminals. I really enjoy what I do. You know, I grew up in the city, so it's nice to work for the city and protect the city. I love it. And, yeah, we all have full-time jobs and during the day. Some of us are teachers, lawyers, architects, sales. A lot of us have kids. It's everyone, like I said in the beginning, everyone has their own story, and each story is incredible.
So who are you playing in the finals, and what is kind of the focus for the team around that game so that you are victorious at the end of the day?
We play the Dallas Diamonds, and they're the team coming out of the West. We're the team coming out of the East. And our focus for this game is just to stick with our game plan and be us. If we could play our game and play one play at a time and focus on execution, there's no doubt that we could come out victorious. So our focus is just to stay level-headed, a lot of concentration and execute, and hit hard.
And what do you know about What do you know about spoken like a true linebacker?
That's right.
So what do you know about Dallas? I mean, what are the strengths of this team?
We know about Dallas. What I've heard of them and what our coaches have told us is they're a lot like us. They have a lot of veterans, and they have a strong core, and they have a really good running attack. So I think they're going to be a team very similar to us. And it's going to come down to, you know, who wants it more. And our focus is, you know, to put in our game plan and stick to it and execute it.
So where will the big championship be held?
The big championship will be held at North Park College on the north side of the city, which is at Foster and Kedzie. And it will be July 26th at 7 p.m.
All right, folks. Well, you want to come out and see the Chicago Force because they are playing the national championship game. They're there, folks. Saturday, July 26th. It's a 7 o'clock game. Come early. Tickets are on sale now, and they plan to sell out the 3,000-seat stadium. So if you want tickets, a couple of places you can get information and details. You can go to iwflsports.com/community, or you can go to the Chicago Force website. That's chicagoforcefootball.com. And we'll have both of those websites linked in our show notes. So you'll just have to click on them and go directly to those sites and get information and plan on being there game day, July 26th at North Park College to cheer Chicago on. And Pam, I don't know what you say. You say break legs? Do you say hit hard? You just say go for broke? What do you say?
You know what? We always say intensity. I like to play with a lot of intensity. So intensity and just focus and leave it all out on the field.
Leave it all out in the field. And
that's my favorite.
You've given us a lot of intensity and a lot of good football this year. So on to victory and intensity will lead the way. Leave it on the field. Pam Shafrath with Chicago Force. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Deb, thanks so much for being on with me today. I'm going to go play tennis, and maybe I need to get some padding and start just knocking people down with my aggression and join the football team.
I was just going to say, why don't we make up contact tennis?
It's make out. And
I know. What
contact.
Did I just say that
you
for?
You just did. That was so fun.
Why don't we just make out right here? Conference call. Why don't we make up our own rules for? I can't fucking speak now. For contact tennis.
Ooh, contact tennis.
Yes.
Wow, that's exciting.
On grass, though.
On grassy courts.
Yeah, like Wimbledon.
Yeah, we'll get some of the Force to help us with that. They might need to have padding in all different kind of places. Like if a ball is coming at you really hard, you just like have a big butt pad and you can just like block it with your ass. That's what I would be doing.
I like it. That's a good visual.
That would be fun. Hey, come back with me on the next show. How's that?
No need to ask me twice.
All right. I would love to have you on, and we'll have Brian Batt on as well from Mad Men. So everybody have a good day, and thanks for listening to the show. In his life, give me love. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.